be different, keep your edges sharp, and don't fear discomfort. The exact quote that that comes from is, he said that the people who change the world are the ones who keep the edges of their differences sharp. He's in Hollywood. He's a filmmaker. He's a producer. And his point was, everybody has sequelitis. Everybody wants to do the thing that was successful, that someone else already did. And he said, I came into Hollywood and said, I'm not going to do that. This is who I am. You talk about identity. This is my purpose. This is what I'm about. Take it or leave it. But this is what I bring to the table that's different. And so that really gripped me. And that's been a huge part of my journey of embracing failure, of embracing my unique talents and abilities and what I have to offer. I don't podcast like anybody else. I don't edit like anybody else. And I'm not going to pursue starting a business like anybody else. And it may fail, but it's who I am. And I'm trying to be true to myself and live with integrity in that space. And so that's been a big part of my journey in this understanding of the way I just reintroduced myself as, you know, I'm not afraid of failure and I'm going to pursue the thing that I'm passionate about and know that what I have to bring to the table is different than what Molly has to bring to the table, but there's space for both of us and we're both unique and we do this differently.
Welcome back to I Am This Age, a podcast proving it's never too late, you're never too old, so go do that thing you're always talking about. I'm Molly Sider, your host. And no, that was not me or my story. That was my guest today, Brian Biedenbach. Brian Biedenbach. Ah, what a lovely name. When Brian and I were recording, he told me that story about the plaques behind him on the wall, and he suggested that I cut it later, but he felt he needed to tell me this story. And I remember when I was listening to it, I got teary because I really needed to hear it in that moment. And then when I was editing this last night, I got teary again because I still needed to hear it. And I thought maybe you might need to hear it too. So no, Brian Biedenbach, not only did I not cut the story, I threw it front and center. Brian recently left his longtime job working at a nonprofit called Youth for Christ to start his own podcast production company. Welcome to the club, Brian. At the time of the interview, he was still phasing out of the job, but he is officially full-time at his company called Summit City Studios, and he is full of insight and wisdom, and I think he might just surprise you. He's kind, welcoming, and smart, and not interested in the divisive religion we hear about these days. So without further ado, here is Brian Biedenbach.
Sorry about that.
No problem.
Every time I get on a microphone, I get these coughing fits, like my throat dries up, and anyway.
Get it.
Hi, my name is Brian Biedenbach. I'm a husband, a father, a podcaster, a podcast producer. I've been a pastor, a teacher, done a lot of things in my life, but currently I'm working as a podcaster and a podcast producer.
Hi, Brian. I don't know what just happened to my voice when I said that. Excuse
Sometimes
me.
Sometimes you know what happens.
Okay, so Brian, you worked in various positions at your local church for over 18 years.
Yes. Yeah.
You married your wife 3 weeks after you graduated from college. You have three kids together. In 2021, at age 43, you officially left your career at the church to start a podcast production company, an industry you had a little bit of experience, but not a ton of experience in. You had been doing a podcast for the church for a few years.
Just to clarify, I wasn't at a local church at the time. I've been working for a non-for-profit parachurch ministry for the last 10 years. Okay. Prior to that, I had been at two local churches serving in youth ministry.
Okay, got it. So when we first talked, you said you had this realization that you had excelled at sort of everything you'd ever done in your life. And you realized that the reason you excelled was because you were really only engaging in the things you knew a lot about, you were familiar and you were comfortable with. So in other words, you hadn't taken a whole lot of risks in your life.
Yep.
When did you have this aha moment? And what was your first emotional reaction when you came to understand that maybe it wasn't that you were just good at everything, it was that you maybe weren't challenging yourself?
Yeah, you know, probably, I don't know, 10 years ago, starting to think through that, honestly. And I knew that I wasn't always good at everything. I just knew that I was really comfortable with what I did. Like, I stayed in my lane. And I don't know if that's a common thread for a lot of people. I just knew that the things that I did get involved in from an early age were things that I knew I would be good at. If I wasn't good the first time I tried it, like if I wasn't decent the first time I tried it, I just never pursued it. And I would have never said that at the time I was risk averse, like I was afraid of failing, but I certainly was afraid of failing. And so when I would try something, whether it was teaching or, you know, athletics, different sports, I was good in school with not needing to study a ton. And so like, those are the things where I found my identity. I know earlier when we talked, identity is a big part of kind of the conversation on your podcast here, but I found my identity in those things. And so I really leaned hard into those and kind of stayed away from the things, like admired from a distance my friends and family that were good at things that I really wanted to be good at, but I never really pursued because I knew I might fail. Honestly, when I was 40, I really had the big realization that, oh, this is because I've been afraid of failure, not because I've not been afraid to challenge myself. I feel like I've always challenged myself, even in the things that I invested in, you know, challenged myself to improve and get better. But it was realization at 40 where I was like, you know, there's things that I've always wanted to do. And I recognize I've been afraid to fail, which is why I haven't pursued those things.
That resonates so much with me. Me too.
I mean, nobody loves failure. I've just learned to look at it a little differently since then, you know?
Yeah. Okay. So what was the next thing you did after you had this realization?
You know, for years I had this team of people that I was working with and training others nationally. We were creating new resources and trying to figure out how we get new content to our leaders across the country. And everything we had been doing had been print materials, right? And so we'd create a PDF document, send it to them for download, you print it off, you use it, or you can use it on your phone. Like it's really handy, but it wasn't really digital content. And so I had a passion for creating digital content that would equip our leaders to do the things that they did better. What I was thinking was video content or podcast content, but again, I had no experience in that. And I was like, well, somebody should do that. I'm not going to do that. I don't know how to do that. It wouldn't be good if I did it. So I think my first step was really when I got into this new position with my local organization was saying, you know what, somebody has to do it. And that somebody's going to have to be me because no one else is going to. And I was terrified, you know, the feelings of not just failure, but the feelings of anything I say is going to be out there forever. Mm-hmm. And, you know, who knows how that's going to come back at me. If it's going to come back at me, am I going to sound stupid? Am I going to be good on a microphone? Is it, you know, all those feelings. So that was my first step was, we're just going to try it and we're going to see how it goes. And it might fail, but at this point, I'm okay with failing. I want to learn something new. So that was my first step into it. And it led to all sorts of other avenues after that.
Wow. Again, so relatable for me. Starting a podcast and putting yourself out there and being worried about sounding stupid. That's my like biggest fear. How did this realization and the change that you made, how did it affect your relationship with yourself and also with other people?
It helped me look at who I am deep down. We may talk more about identity issues, but you know, I have had moments in my life where identity was really, really challenged. So back in way up, and I won't go into all the story, but I was an athlete. I was studying biology in college, and there was moments where those things came to an end. And I realized I was really depressed after that when, you know, I injured my knee, I had my surgery, my playing career came to an end. I didn't realize until then how much my identity was wrapped up in those things. And so I'm grateful. I made a practice in my life of journaling. And so I'm grateful to have those moments recorded so I can look back and go, you know, when I lost something that I found my sense of identity in, I survived it. I found identity elsewhere moving forward in other things. And so when this came about, I recognized that, again, my identity was wrapped up in the things that I was doing at the time, the things that I was good at. And to put myself out there in a new way, I was like, I don't know what this is going to do. What are other people going to think of me? Am I what I do? Or am I someone beyond that? Even if this fails, if this crumbles, if this is a miserable failure, is my job at stake? Is my reputation in my organization at stake? Is my credibility at stake? I don't know, but I had to be willing to do that.
As you said, I like to talk about identity a lot, and I think we're going to get wrapped up in those things. It's inevitable. And, you know, how do you, I guess, like recenter yourself when things like that become lost, or when you get into conflict or whatever it is, like how do you sort of recenter yourself and remember like who you are, that none of the things define your worthiness and your value?
Yeah. Yeah. I think having a community of people around you, having for me, my family, my wife, my kids, has been a big part of that. I've found community in just online groups of people that are kind of in similar spaces as I am, like transitioning from careers to creating content, whether it's, you know, video content on YouTube or podcasts or whatever, just people that are kind of in that same boat and going, okay, what's life like for you right now? You know, how can we help? How can we push each other? How can we challenge each other? And finding some accountability and community in those spaces has been really helpful for me. You know, it's been, again, since 2018 is when I started that first podcast endeavor. I'm on my third one now. I'm working as a podcast producer, and we can talk more about that if you want. But I think that in that journey, it's been really, and I don't know if you found this to be true for you, it's scary at first, but man, once I got into it, it was kind of addicting. Like the thrill of, okay, I'm putting myself out there. I'm going to try something else now, and I'm going to try something else, and I'm going to try something else. And I don't care if it fails, kind of. Like, I do care if it fails, or else I wouldn't be doing it in the first place. But if this doesn't fail, I'm confident enough to go, all right, I'm going to try something else. I'm developing new skills, new abilities. But I think through all that, having a supportive community has been huge, huge for me.
I'm always asking people about their support team.
Yeah.
we can't do any of it alone. We cannot do it alone. We're the same. I think we're the same age. Our generation and older were taught that we had to figure it out on our own, and we didn't want to burden people. And it's bullshit.
Yeah. It's something that, again, I've owned a lot of the things that I've done. I've really felt like, man, I've really figured this out. And I can look to people and go, yeah, they were helpful, whatever. And I always give credit where credit's due, but I'm recognizing that, again, I had abilities in some of those things to begin with. And so pursuing those, great. Now when I'm in a space where I have no experience, you know, up until 2018 and kind of clueless and moving forward, man, that team is so necessary.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so how has your relationship with the church changed, if at all, since you left your position or your role in that community?
That's a really, really interesting question right now. So I'm actually still part-time with the organization, but I've moved from, you know, I was working directly with young people, middle school and high school students within our organization in our local schools, and moved into a role where I was training volunteers and recruiting volunteers across our region, and most recently was in a leader development role for our staff and our volunteers. So kind of moved away from the thing that got me involved in it in the first place. And so when there was, you know, just some tension in the things that I wanted to pursue and the things that needed to happen within the organization, that I just felt like, you know, this wasn't where I needed to be anymore. So I pulled away, but I'm still there extremely part-time, working more in a communications role because that's what I love to do now. And so not working with leader development, not working with students anymore, but working in video and audio content creation for special projects. And so it's been hard, you know, watching something that you've invested in for so long, whether it's, you know, a parachurch or a church organization or a business or, you know, podcasting and producing or whatever it is, something that you've really poured yourself into for so long, and it's been 11 years now. Walking away from it is one thing, you know, to pursue other things. I'm still kind of a part of it and kind of on the edge of it, watching things that I used to do and be a part of happen. So again, yeah, it's a really interesting question. It's been honestly, a really challenging road. But I was listening to one of your most recent episodes with a friend of yours that
Melissa.
Yeah, maybe so, that talked about her Cousin Becky a lot, or yes. Like she was a screenwriter.
Call Cousin
or something,
Becky.
Right? Yeah.
Everyone needs a Cousin Becky.
So, you know, I was listening to that one and I think she said something about learning to be a better storyteller when that wasn't necessarily the profession she was in when she went into the corporate world, but she learned to be better and really enjoy it, not because it was her job, but because it was something that she was really passionate about. And quite honestly, I feel like that about my role as a, you know, my faith is still a big part of my life. And I got to a point, honestly, recently where I loved just living out my faith in the midst of my relationships in a way that it was not my job. My income didn't depend on it. You know, I think, you know, we could go down that road about what's happening in our country and American Christianity. And that's just not the faith that I ascribe to. You know, it's more of a humble, love your neighbor kind of approach to what I think is more biblically centered and following who Jesus was, and not this let's take control and let's own and let's. And so I just didn't want to be a part of, and not that my organization was like that, but I just didn't want to be a part of leadership when that was the image, when I can do what I do because I love it and not because my job and my livelihood depends on it. So I'm in a weird place with it, but still, it's still very important to me and my journey in life.
It sounds really complicated. Do you think that religion and the church had been influencing your lifestyle before you realized you hadn't been taking a lot of risks necessarily?
Probably more than I realize. When you're immersed in something, you don't see maybe the way it influences you as much until you get outside of it. And I don't necessarily think it's in negative ways. I think that I really value the roles that I've been able to play and the ways that I've been able to participate in the church and help lead. And one of the things that I've have loved about my responsibilities and my jobs and my faith over the years is just the ability to mentor young people. And you know, you talk about identity and purpose. And those are the two things that I built my career on, helping middle school and high school students figure out who am I and what's my purpose in life. I think that's a time of life that they're looking for those things. And so that's what I've loved about it. You know, there's certainly politics, not just national politics. Like I was never really swayed by that, but like church politics and that kind of thing, I think really probably influenced me more than I realized until I stepped out and went, oh, I was part of that culture. I was part of that, good or bad. You know, again, stepping outside of it, you realize things about yourself that you, you know, thought, oh, I've got this all figured out. And then you step outside of it, go, nope, I sure don't. I was dependent on the people around me. So certainly there's influence there. But honestly, Molly, I take responsibility for, you know, the way I've allowed things to influence me for good or bad. I've let it in. So if it's been good, I've let it in. If it's been bad, I've let it in. And being able to step away from it, I think has been helpful for me to even recognize some of that.
Which is, you know, why I believe it's so important to keep trying new things and challenging yourself, because that's how we grow.
Agreed, for sure. And I think too that every experience I've had has prepared me for something that's coming next. I look at it as certainly, again, faith is a big part of who I am in my life. And I see that it's the ways that I feel like the Lord has prepared me and led me. You know, you call it coincidence, call it whatever. But you know, the things that I've really taken a chance, let's say podcasting, to develop leaders in 2018 that I had no clue what to do. I tell a story that I invited a co-host to come with me to be a part of this because he knew how to run a soundboard. And I had no idea what I was doing. And we sat down to record and I said, okay, you run the board. I'll write the scripts. We'll talk back and forth. And he goes, I don't know how to run a board. I was like, this is the whole reason you're here, man. I thought you knew how to do this. So anyway, just I think that stepping out in something like that, a part of that organization, really taught me, helped me develop new skills and recognize a passion that was in me that I didn't know existed. And they gave me freedom to explore that. And I'm really grateful for that. And it just led me down this other path to continue to try new things. But without that opportunity as part of that organization, I would never be where I'm at now, you know? So I think even the hardships in life really teach us about who we are and what's inside of us and where, you know, where our path is going to lead us if we continue to pursue that.
Yeah. And what we're capable of. And when you figure out the thing that you had no idea how to do, you're like, okay, wait, I'm capable of even more than I ever imagined.
Right.
Going.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
So what have been some of the scariest parts to leaving your role, your previous role, and starting a new business?
I've always said, I do not want to be a business owner. I don't want to be the boss. I have never seen myself as an entrepreneur. And so I've learned never to say never anymore because I always end up in those spaces. So the challenge really has been, I don't know how to run a business. I'm learning as I go, like I did with podcasting. I learned as I went, what buttons did what on the mixer, you know, somebody had to learn that if we were going to do it. Yeah. So I'm learning as I go. That's a challenge. I think the steady income is also a major challenge. You know, I'm a year in and things haven't officially taken off yet, you know, so I don't look at my business and go, man, I've made it. It's been a year and I've made it. I thought I'd be further along at this point than I was. Certainly, I'm working with some clients and some businesses and some organizations, but it's not a full-time income quite yet. And so that's really been scary. Again, my wife does work and I'm grateful for that. Or else I don't know what I'd be doing right now. I couldn't have made this move. She's been very supportive, but you know, there have been some hard conversations about, okay, what are we doing here? How long can we go? I have three kids, all teenagers, all in travel sports. One is driving. Another one is about to get his license. And so, you know, expenses are real. And so financially, there's been a lot of risk and it's been challenging and scary in that sense. I think personally, again, the idea that, you know, if this fails, who am I? I feel like I've left behind what I've given my life to pursue this. And if this fails, I don't know what's next. Like, I don't have a plan B yet. And I've been looking at, okay, what part-time jobs are out there that can I get to help support till I get this off the ground? So that's scary. I don't know what I'll do. And again, in your 40s, that's a tough time to be looking for something new that you go, you know, I don't have a whole lot of experience in that, but I'm willing to learn.
Oh man. Yes. I understand this so well.
I'm sure.
It takes a lot of convincing other people, like, look, I know I'm new at this and I've learned so much in such a short amount of time and I'm completely committed and I know that I'm good at it. I promise you I'm going to do an amazing job for you, but I almost have to, you know, constantly remind myself and convince myself that that's true in order to try to convince other people that that's true. And it's just like, it's such a challenge.
Yeah. And you go, am I really as good as I think I am? Is that okay if I'm not as good as I think I am? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally relate to that. Can I throw a question at you for a second?
Absolutely.
I know this is your podcast, but I know you're doing some similar things to what I'm doing with podcasting and production and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Have you ever found yourself maybe actually doing this or even tempted? Like, you listen to a podcast that someone produces and go, oh, I could do this so much better. And I want to contact them and say, send me your file and I'll show you what I can do. Let me earn your business. Right.
Oh my God. Yes. All the time, all the time. And then I second guess myself. I'm like, well, wait, could I? And I'm like, yeah, I totally could. I know exactly like where they're cutting and I could hear it.
Yeah.
I could hear background, like all the things.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, but then if I can hear it, why wouldn't they have been able to? Yeah. And then it's just this whole back and forth. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, so I think the funny part of it for me is the moment I start thinking that, I get a recording on a podcast that I'm doing myself. And I, you know, I use different microphones on my podcast and just test some new things out just so new podcasters can hear what things sound like. And sometimes it sounds terrible. And so the moment I start thinking about that, I release an episode with a microphone that was really hard to tweak. I was picking up every noise because it was super sensitive. And I'm like, oh, this just doesn't sound good. Or most recently, I released one that, you know, I usually edit with these headphones on. I was editing with a different pair of headphones. I was listening in my speaker monitors. And every pair of headphones sounds a little different. So I got it to the way I liked it and I published it. Normally, I take a clip, I put it on my phone so I can listen on my phone. I listen in my earbuds. I take it to my car and listen. Just how does it sound everywhere? And I didn't do that with this one. And when I published it the next day, when it came out, I listened in these headphones and I went, what did I just do? This sounds so bad compared to what I was had been doing. And so anyway, yeah. It keeps me humble for sure. It keeps me humble. I start thinking that and I go, I make mistakes too.
Yeah, I know. Also, you know, if you look at the evolution of my podcast episodes, it's huge.
Right?
I'm always like, look, I'm making all the mistakes on my podcast so that I know going into yours, it'll be great.
Yeah. I feel like it's easier being the guest than it is the host, right?
I don't know.
Oh, really?
I'm new to being a guest. Yours will be the second time I'm a guest on somebody else's podcast.
Yeah. Okay.
And I get really nervous.
Okay. That's fair.
I'm really good at asking lots of questions and like deflecting the attention to somebody else. I mean, I do this in life too. Like,
I think what I mean by that, I haven't been a guest on many podcasts either, to be honest. So this is the second, maybe or third that I've done. But I just, as a host, I'm always, you have to listen. You ask the question, you listen to the answer, so you're processing as they're talking, and then you have follow-up questions that, you know, if you're just reading from your list, aren't going to make sense. So you have to digest information as you're thinking about what's next. So I love doing that, but it is a little more challenging than just sitting here and going, okay, what's the next question, you know?
Oh, yeah. It's so hard. It's super hard. You're using, like, every part of your brain at once.
For sure.
Okay. So next question.
Yeah. Let's keep rolling.
I wanted to ask you what fear looks like on a practical sort of day-to-day, hour-to-hour level for you.
What fear looks like. I do fear disappointing my family. I do fear, you know, if this doesn't work out, to become a full-time thing, am I okay with that? Will I continue to pursue this if I look for, you know, a real job, you know, that does pay the bills and do this as a hobby. So I think more of the fear is, am I doing the right things or am I spinning my wheels? Because I don't like spinning my wheels. I like having purpose. Again, identity and purpose go hand in hand for me. So I like knowing that what I'm doing has purpose. And I still believe that what I'm doing has purpose. And I believe that more and more people are seeing, you know, what I provide and what even you provide as a podcaster and a producer, that it has purpose for their business, for their organization, for their life. And I can come alongside and help them with that. So I'm still pursuing that. But the fear, I think primarily, honestly, is financial, is I need to be able to support my family in doing the thing that I love to do and stop seeing this as a hobby, you know? And I don't see it as a hobby, but I think many of the people around me kind of ask the question, how's your podcast going? You know, are you making any money off that yet? And I'm like, my podcast is not the thing I'm trying to make money on. It's helping you do your podcast and your business and your company do the thing that you do better. So I think people are still seeing this as a Brian's trying its new podcast thing. And, you know, and I think, so honestly, I guess the more as I talk about this out loud, the fear of what are others thinking? Is this a cute little pet project or is this really a legit way to pursue a career? And I know it is. I don't know what they're thinking.
Do you think that that affects your confidence in what you're doing at all? I mean, I feel the same way. I hear that all the time too. And it, whenever I hear that question, it's like a little bit of like a punch in the stomach. It affects me. Like I in those moments question, like, what am I doing? Is this going to work? Maybe the feelings that they're feeling are the correct ones. And then that goes away because I obviously keep going. But do you have any of that?
I do. Yeah. And I've learned, honestly, tried to kind of compartmentalize that a little bit and recognize that the people who I'm hearing that from want to be supportive and they're in my corner, but they don't fully understand what I'm doing. And they're not my target client. Like they're not the people that I'm trying to work with. So the fact that they don't understand the vision or what I'm trying to do is okay. But yeah, certainly in the moment, it's like, oh, no, this is not. Somebody asked me the other day, like, about my podcast and how it's going. And, you know, is this something I can really see myself doing full time? And I'm like, yeah, my podcast, though, is not like, that's a part of it. You've not taken the time to really listen and hear and see what I'm trying to do. So more than anything, sometimes it can be frustrating, you know?
Yeah. Where would you like to be in 5 years?
I would love to see the business, Summit City Studios that I'm running, be working with larger clients who really see podcasting and video content creation as a value for their marketing and for telling their story. And I think we're moving that direction. I'm just trying to figure out how I navigate that space, right? I think more people are doing that. So I'd like to see more people, maybe just a partner that I'm working with in this business. I want to be fully remote, meaning I can work from home. I can bring equipment to you if it's a local client. I can help set you up and do your, you know, editing and producing from a distance, which is what I'm set up to do now. But I'm going to have, at that point, one of my children will be done with college, at least undergrad, and I'll have two more in college at that point. And so I want to be able, and one of them, I know my daughter for sure is playing sports in college. And so I want to be able to travel and enjoy her games and spend time with her and be able to work while I'm on the road.
What do you think is maybe the biggest obstacle to getting yourself there?
Honestly, I think it's learning how to get in front of the right people. I'm very well networked with, you know, how long I've been in this community, the people I know in the companies that I'm reaching out to. I'm very well networked. I just don't know that I'm getting in front of the right people in the right places quite yet. And I think once that happens, if I can figure that out, I think that's right now the biggest challenge to doing that. And staying motivated to, you know, nobody likes failure. Nobody likes rejection. I've learned to see it differently, but it's still, I don't like spinning my wheels. So making cold calls and sending cold emails to the right people and not getting responses has a way of just weighing on me, you know? And so I've got to stay motivated to continue to reach out and find the right places and find the right people. So I think right now that's the biggest challenge for me is this new journey of entrepreneurship. I know that what I do is valuable and I know that what I have to offer will benefit the clients that I will work with, but it's learning how to get in front of them, build that funnel and all of that I'm learning, the lingo even as I go, has probably been the biggest obstacle.
Yeah. I keep looking like at your behind you and you look like you're in this beautiful studio. Do you have a studio like office or?
I do. Yeah. This is in the basement of my house.
Okay.
So yeah, I built this in 2020 just to, you know, we finished our basement at that point. And I said, I'm going to take this space and I'm going to build a studio and I've added to it as I've gone. So yeah, this is kind of what I've done here at home.
It looks great from here. I'm like, that is very professional and very different from where I am.
Thank you.
We talked a lot about identity. And in the beginning of these episodes, I always ask everyone to introduce themselves, their name, their age, and however you think of yourself. Can you reintroduce yourself without using titles like husband, podcaster, son?
Yeah. You know, you queued me up for that question, and I've been thinking about that, and it's a really difficult question. It really is a difficult question. I think it's a great question. I think I would say okay, so I'll start with my name, my age. Do you want me to do that? Okay.
Sure, yes.
Yeah. Hi, my name is Brian. I'm 44 years old. I love to challenge myself, learn new things. I'm no longer afraid to fail. And I'm willing to embrace the uniqueness of who I am and what I have to offer.
That is awesome.
Thank you.
That's great.
So I don't know if you want to use this, you can edit this out, but you mentioned the backdrop here. And I would be remiss to not share like a little bit of where that came from. Those plaques on the wall, they say, be different, keep your edges sharp, and don't fear discomfort. And those came from in 2019, so I'm a year into my podcasting journey. I'm not on YouTube yet. I'm understanding, beginning to wrestle with this idea of failure a little bit. And I was at a conference, a Global Leadership Summit, and a speaker, Devon Franklin, was speaking, and he was talking. The exact quote that comes from is, he said that the people who change the world are the ones who keep the edges of their differences sharp. He's in Hollywood. He's a filmmaker. He's a producer. And his point was, everybody has sequelitis. Everybody wants to do the thing that was successful, that someone else already did. And he said, I came into Hollywood and said, I'm not going to do that. This is who I am. You talk about identity. This is my purpose. This is what I'm about. Take it or leave it. But this is what I bring to the table that's different. And so that really gripped me. And that's been a huge part of my journey of embracing failure, of embracing my unique talents and abilities and what I have to offer. I don't podcast like anybody else. I don't edit like anybody else. And I'm not going to pursue starting a business like anybody else. And it may fail, but it's who I am. And I'm trying to be true to myself and live with integrity in that space. And so that's been a big part of my journey in this understanding of the way I just reintroduced myself as, you know, I'm not afraid of failure and I'm going to pursue the thing that I'm passionate about and know that what I have to bring to the table is different than what Molly has to bring to the table, but there's space for both of us and we're both unique and we do this differently.
Yes. Ooh, thank you for that. I got chills. I love that. And I think I needed to hear that. So thank you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So the name of your company is Summit City Studios.
That's right? Correct. Yep.
What is it? Is that where you are? What's Summit City?
Yeah. So I live in Fort Wayne, Indiana, okay. And it's called the Summit City, which I didn't understand until recently because it's very flat here. Yeah.
It's like, I'm Midwest too. It's like, it's completely flat. And then there's like, I grew up in Highland Park and like Mountain View. It's like, there's no mountains around. Yeah. Here. But anyway,
I think Summit City, I've learned that it comes from that Fort Wayne or this area was the highest point on along the Erie Canal. And so it was the summit of, and I'm like, oh, that's, I don't know. I don't know that I buy into that, but that's what everything around here is called. And so that's what I named my studio. Everybody knows where it's at.
I like it.
Thank you.
All right. So where can people find you?
Yeah. SummitCityStudios.com. You can find what I do there. You can contact me, Brian, at SummitCityStudios.com. I'm on YouTube at Summit City Studios, and I host a podcast called Good Podcasting, which I'm excited to have you on in a few episodes. We're going to interview you in a couple days.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm nervous. I love talking to you, and I'm really, really glad that you came on and you were willing to answer all my questions.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. Thanks for having me. Looking forward to interviewing you.
Thank you to David Ben-Perat for sound engineering, Dan Davin for the music, David Harper for the artwork. I Am This Age is produced by Jellyfish Industries. I'm Molly Sider. And if you have a podcast that you want produced or edited or music for, we do all of that. Contact info@jellyfishindustries.com for more information. Or if you just need to be life coached, well, there's nothing I like to talk about more. And I happen to be certified. Contact Molly@jellyfishindustries.com for more information. If you're loving these episodes, subscribe, rate, review, and share with everybody you know. Scream it from the rooftops. Thanks for tuning in and catch you all next time. We love you, Cousin Becky.